So we'll start on Vav Amud Aleph at the Gufa. So what this whole Amud has been dealing with is the degree to which you need to state a formula in the Kiddushin. To what degree is it necessary to say a formula, and how inflexible are we with the actual words that need to be used for this formula? And you remember that right along we've been learning with two possibilities of understanding the role of Dibur. The role of the Amira in Kiddushin. The one understanding is that it's just to explain what's going on. It's communication. She needs to know with absolute clarity what the Kinyan is for, what the purpose is for, and he needs to express that. And the purpose is just to give her that clarity. And the other view we've been exploring is that the Amira actually does something. The same as Amira in Hekdesh, and the same as Amira in Adorim, that the Amira actually does something. As we get more and more into the sugi, there's still the possibility of learning it both ways, but it seems to tend much more towards the first way. Mm-hmm. So let's have a look here and see. Gufa. So here we're dealing. This came up in passing in the previous sugi, and now the Gemara is analyzing it in detail. Here's the scenario. There is no formula stated. There's only context created. Mm-hmm. But from the context is created verbally, there are words. It's not as if there are no words. The Gemara doesn't even try saying they were at the wedding hall and everything was laid out and the chuppah was up and the rov was there and everybody was there and he didn't say anything. That's not what we're saying. There clearly needs to be an amira. The question is, what is the role of that amira? But there needs to be an amira. So the question is here... Sorry?
The case was Gita, though. With the get, there doesn't need to be an amira for the get.
So by the get, there needs to be clarity as well. By the get, there also needs to be clarity in there. There's a bit of discussion whether it talks about the way he wrote it in the get. He did write the right loshon or he didn't. And Rashi has a shita in Gittin that if he wrote the right loshon, he can still mess it up by saying the wrong thing. So in Gittin, even though the amira isn't so crucial for the actual thing, but you can mess it up with the amira. But we're not going to get involved too much in the get side of it, and the kiddushin side of it. What we're saying is that there's clearly dibur. They are talking. There is a verbal expression, but it's just contextual.
Sorry, just before you get off of the getting, can I ask a question?
Sure.
When he gives the get to the woman, we're saying that he has to say something that is clear that the woman understands that she's getting a get. It sounds like, right? And yet he could give a woman a get bal korcha. She doesn't have to accept it.
Yeah, it's not so much that it has to be clear. What's important with the get is that what he says doesn't imply anything other than what's written in the get. So you can damage a get by what you say. But you're right. The way that a get communicates is in writing, and the way Kiddushin communicates is in dibur, mm-hmm. Which is quite interesting and natural, because if you want to create a relationship, what do you do to say? You want to create a relationship with somebody, what do you say? Say, yeah, let's go out for coffee. Right. Let's meet, let's get together and talk about it. That's what you say. And if you want to break a relationship, you would like to do it over email if you can. Isn't that right? You don't get and meet and send an email and say it's over.
Text, you're fired
or whatever. You don't have to meet for that. So Gittin, where you're pushing away a relationship, it needs to be very clear. It needs to be documented so there's no comeback afterwards. But it doesn't need intimacy, it doesn't need closeness. But Kiddushin needs people to speak to each other. Mm-hmm. If they're not speaking to each other, the Kinyan without this, it's a very interesting idea. That no matter what we say the Amir is for, if we say the Amir is for the Hesachaloi, so we say the Amir is just to clarify, whatever it is, the fact is that to create the relationship of Kiddushin, there's got to be communication. No communication, no Gittin. The question is now, what is the nature of this communication? If they were sitting and they were talking about Kiddushin, and he takes out a ring and gives it to her, he gives her kesef, or however he does it, but he doesn't say harayat mekudeshes li. He doesn't say that's what this is for. He creates the context using communication. Veloy pirish. Rabbi Yossi omedaya, Rabbi Yudah metzorech lefarish. Rabbi Yossi says that is sufficient, and Rabbi Yudah says tzorech lefarish. He has to explain. And when I was learning this with Moshe, he made the point that tzorech lefarish is very interesting, because tzorech lefarish, he doesn't say he's got to. Tzorech lefarish could mean that there's got to be clear enunciation, but the pashtus of tzorech lefarish is he's got to give a perish, meaning I'm doing something, I'm doing an action. The purpose of the words is to be mefarish the action. Mm-hmm. And what is perish for? Why do you give somebody a perish? Mm-hmm. So that the other person will understand. Isn't that right? It's not a dibur. It's not like you don't have to understand if you're saying hekdesh or whatever it is. The people around you don't have to understand what you're saying. It's not an act of communication. It's an act of expression. Because words can do one of two things. Words are a way of self-expression, and words are a way of communicating expression to others. So they say, for example, people who write journals often say they journal not in order to be understood or to clarify to other people, it's to clarify to oneself. The process of writing and the process of speaking, that's why we say you should learn out aloud even if you're not teaching anybody. The process of speaking clarifies your own mind to you. So that's one possibility. But lefarish means you're giving an explanation to another person who might otherwise be confused. So it seems clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, that the role of the dibur is perush, and context doesn't help for perush. The fact that I give you kiddushin when we're busy talking about marriage and wedding and romance and all sorts of things, and I give you something, that's not called perush. That maybe you said the words, maybe you created context, but you weren't mefarish what it is. Why am I doing this? This is why I'm doing it particularly. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's what you've done. But just understand the words, then that seems to be what it's saying.
Do we make a distinction whether she's aware or that the fact that, let's say, there's Adam, is about a case where
they're... Oh, it's a very, very good question. What do you think? What do you think is important? She, the Adam, or both?
I think both would be important. But for Gittin, I mean, halachically, the Adam has to be aware of the fact that there's a process going on. I mean, she seems to be less a factor in the process of the...
She's more passive in the whole thing. What about Kiddushin?
I mean, the way we've been talking about telling condition, she seems to be, needs to be more active in that process.
Seems to be. So the Rambam says the following. V'yesh... V'yesh le'ish le'kadesh ho'isho b'chol loshon shehi makeres boi. You can do kiddushin in any language that she understands. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to use the words harav makadesh. If she understands English, you can say it.
But you can also do it in a language she doesn't understand.
Is that lakula?
But theoretically, you can do it in Hebrew if she doesn't understand.
It could be, and that's bepashtus. We haven't had a case that you've got to translate it.
Right. Let's say you use the universal term. You use hurry up and get actually, and she just doesn't understand it.
Right. Except for our case right now, which is tzarach lefarish.
Would it be chal if he says Arad Mekudesh and she doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, she doesn't understand Hebrew? Because she doesn't know. She's no doubt. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's doing. But it doesn't matter if she doesn't know the exact translation of the words. But what she needs to know is that what's happening is she's being given a ring for Kiddushin. That she's got to know. And therefore, says the Rambam, you don't need to do it in a special Lashon. You can do it in any Lashon she understands. What's important is that she understands it. V'yemashma hadvorim bo'yisu haloshin shekeno'o k'moshu bi'anu. V'hoyo medaber imo isho al iskeha kiddushin, if they were talking about kiddushin generally, v'rotzeso v'omad, and she agrees, v'omad v'kiddush. And she says, if I asked you, would you marry me? And she says, yes. So he gets up and gives her money. But he doesn't say this is, or he gives her a ring. He doesn't say this is the act of kiddushin. V'kiddush v'loy pirish, that's our case in the Gemara. V'loy omar la klum, he said nothing at the time that he gave her the ring. Ela noson beyoda or boal, hoil vehen asukin beinyan dayo veino tzorich lefarish. The asukin beinyan is enough because she gets it. She understands what's going on. The chiyuv is not for him to be mefarish. It's for her to understand. So it seems to be that according to the Rambam, that's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Is the role of amiro here for him to clarify or for her to get it? So when Rabbi Yehuda says tzorich lafarish, it means he's got to clarify. Doesn't if she got it from something else, that doesn't help. He's got to be mefarish. Says the Rambam, he paskens like Rabbi Yossi, as the Gemara paskens that he doesn't have to be mefarish, but she does need to understand. Don't think that the fact that he doesn't have to be mefarish means that she doesn't have to understand. She absolutely has to understand. But if she understands from the context of the conversation, that's sufficient.
Rambam, so why does the Gemara go to such lengths as to describe different terminology that he uses? If she understands, that should be the klal. If she understands, then that should be sufficient. As opposed to discussing what about this lashon and that.
Because you can have a lashon that undermines it. You can have a lashon which damages it. Mm-hmm. That even if she understands, but it's a lashon that's confusing, it's not clear, it means different mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. So what the Gemara is really clarifying in that sugya are the outer limits of what messes it up.
Right.
But within the frame, within the context of what doesn't mess it up, all we're concerned about is that she understands
yeah,
very clearly.
That is that a certain society developed their own way of doing it?
Yes, in parts of the country, there were different places where different languages would work. And then the Rambam adds to deal with what you were asking. He doesn't have to be meyached the edim the way we normally do it. You don't have to do that. It has to happen. It has to take place. When we were learning, Moshe's point was, if you see clearly from the Rambam, that this is not, it's not about a ritual. It's a social contract. She needs to know that she's being mekudeshes. He needs to be mekadesher, and they need to be edim present when they do it. But it's not a whole thing where it's different from Gittin. Kiddushin is probably different from Gittin in that way. That the role of the Eidim are to be present and to observe. That you've got two Eidim, two independent Eidim who've observed the process. And and that's just a fact. Even if they weren't specifically appointed. They're there, they saw it. Like Kivan Shigirish, he says, Girish or Kiddush Bifnehem, Harezu Mekudeshes Umegureshes. If he did the Maise Kiddushin or the Maise Girushin Bifne Eidim, then she's Mekudeshes or Megureshes. If they're not Eidim, she's not. So what do you need? You need a Kinyan. You need her to understand from him what the Kinyan is for. And you need Eidim observing, and they need to know what's happening as well. Those are the components of the Kiddushin. Omar Rav Yehuda Mashmur. V'husha asukin bo yisu inyan. So what does Rashi say? V'husha asukin bo yisu inyan. Ho de kom Rabbi Yossi dayo. V'husha yu asukin bedibur iski kiddushin ad shas nesino. So this that Rabbi Yossi said dayo, that he doesn't need to be mefarish. It's sufficient if there's context. Says Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, provided they're talking in that area itself. But not everybody holds that. Because we have the Tanoi. Rabbi Omer Vushoskin Boisuinian. So Rabbi says the same as Shmuel said. Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon Omer Afapisha Ein Asukin Boisuinian. Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon says not necessarily so. Says the Gemara, he loved Asukin Boisuinian. Mana Yada. Then there's a problem that she doesn't know. All of a sudden a man walks up to a strange woman in the street and gives her a ring and says nothing. Is that what you mean? Mana Yada Maika Omela. There definitely has to be context. If there's no context at all, it's just an action done with no verbal context, it's no kiddush. If there is verbal context, there's a machlokes, Rebbe and Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon, as to whether it has to be immediately before he gives her and it does have to be immediately before. That also is clear. This that Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon says they don't have to be asukim boyusinian means that immediately before the kinyan they weren't talking about the act of marriage, about the kiddushin, they were talking about marriage in general. The dunya, says Rashi, they're talking about monetary matters and how they're going to manage, how they're going to cope, and what income have they got. They're talking about the process of living together, not the process of getting married. So according to Rebbe and Shmuel, this that Rabbi Yossi says dayo means if they were actually talking about the process of the wedding, of the Maise Kiddushin, until the moment he gave her the ring. So then, for all intents and purposes, it's as if he was explaining it. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, he's actually got to be mefarish. He can't be talking about the thing in general. He's actually got to say, this ring is for this purpose. We don't rely on the fact that she'll make the connection. And according to Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon, even if at the time that he actually gave her the ring, they were no longer talking about getting married, the Maise Kiddushin, but they were talking about being married, that's also okay. So he goes even further.
Why is Rabbi Yehuda so medactic that you have to be so explicit that when he gives her the money or the ring, he has to say, it's because I want to marry you, as opposed to a conversation that's in context with me? I mean, if a man and a woman are talking about, first they talk about marriage and how wonderful it is, and they could be such a good couple together, and et cetera, and they know what they're talking about. They're not children; they're adults. And then they start talking about, well, how are we going to live together? How are we going to manage? Are we going to pay the rents and stuff like that? And I mean, it's clear they're talking about getting married and living together as a couple.
Yeah, so it's a good question. So you're saying, what happens if we know for sure that she gets it?
Yeah,
we know for sure she understands, but he wasn't mefarish. Says Rabbi Yehuda, she's still not mefu- she's still not mekudeshes.
Yeah,
so you're asking why not? It, what's missing? There was a kinyan. She knows what it's for, and there were Edim, and the Edim knew what it was for. What's missing?
Yeah.
So the only thing you can say what's missing is the way we were learning earlier, that the role of Amira is more than just clarity. And you remember the way we learned it is from the Lokach, that the Loshen Likuchin implies Dibur as well. So that the Kinyan needs to have Dibur in it.
Oh,
it's not just that the Kinyan is done in a context where there is understanding. But we said that the lokach has a double meaning. Lokach bidvorim, there's an idea of taking somebody's heart by appealing to them with words, and there's such a thing as being lokach with kesef. And that the kinyan itself, that you have to intertwine both elements in the kinyan itself. That's how we would need to learn according to Rabbi Yehuda.
You could just say that that's defining perish. But that's perish. End of story. She understands perish is about the result and not about the action.
Well, that would be Rabbi Yossi.
No, but that would also be in Rabbi Yehuda. Why not?
Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is saying if she understands, it's not good enough.
It is. Yes, he's saying, but how are you defining perish?
No, because you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda says she must understand, and then what you say Rabbi Yossi holds even if she doesn't understand. That's not going to be. So she clearly has to understand according to both of them. So that she understands what's happening, there's no question about that. If she doesn't understand, it's no kiddushin. So what's Rabbi Yehuda adding onto Rabbi Yossi? They're talking about marriage. They're talking about a wedding. Yeah, where does she? He's got to actually say this tabas is for kiddushin. Not just we're talking about kiddushin. He's got to say that this in the kinyan there has to be a dibur, not around the kinyan there has to be a dibur. In the kinyan there has to be a dibur.
How are you saying ketanai?
So also let's learn. So ketanai. Rabbi Yom Hashivus Kimusinian. Rabbi Loz Barabishman Amfa Pshenas Kimusinian. So ketanai at this point means that this machleike Shmuel, this that Shmuel said v'hu shos kim b'yusa inyan, is a machleike tanoi, is the way we would have to learn it now. This which Shmuel said that Rabbi Yossi is saying dayo is only v'hu shos kim b'yusa inyan is a machleike tanoi. Rabbi holds that way taka v'hu shos kim b'yusa inyan. Rabbi Shimon am afa b'she'enos kim b'yusa inyan. What does that mean? It means minyan inyan b'yusa inyan. Omar Rav Huna Omar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, and Rav Huna Omar Shmuel said Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. Omar Rav Yehim Rav Ashi. So what have we got now? Are we surprised that Shmuel says Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, or do we know that already? If Rav Huna Omar Shmuel wouldn't have said this, would you have known that Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi?
No, you would have had a machlokes tanoim.
And we wouldn't have known who the halacha was like. But what about the fact that Shmuel said already v'ushos kimbos inyan, and we said that's explaining Rabbi Yossi.
If he's being mefarish Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah, but Pashtus, if he's being mefarish Rabbi Yossi.
If you say in ketanai, it means Rabbi Yossi, in Rabbi Yossi there's machlokas tanai.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that Shmuel is paskening
like Rabbi Yossi.
No, what we're saying is a machlokas in Rabbi Yossi.
Mm-hmm.
He's paskening like Rabbi in Rabbi Yossi.
He is paskening like Rabbi in Rabbi Yossi, yeah.
What, and he didn't know that Rabbi said that?
Who didn't know? We haven't got to anybody not knowing it.
Shmuel. See, he could have said, Amar Rabbi, the Rabbi says, in Shmuel, this is the din, in Rabbi Yossi, this is the din.
So what are you asking?
He's implying it's a chiddush.
That we pasken like Rabbi Yossi is
no,
a chiddush.
No, who should also be Indian, seemingly is a chiddush according to Shmuel, right?
Right.
But it's not, because we say ketanai.
And therefore you've got to say that what Shmuel is saying is he'll be passing like Rabbi.
Right.
But you say, why doesn't he say it in those words?
No, that's...
So what are you asking?
No, that's not... I'm saying
you're saying that he must be passing like Rabbi, which means he must be passing like Rabbi Yossi.
Right.
So then Rav Huna Omar Shmuel is not really adding anything new.
Would you
agree?
Yeah.
From Moshua is not anything new. Now let's learn like the Rashbo, like the Rashbo learns. So the Rashbo says, did you have a look at the Rashbo inside? The Rashbo says the machlokes Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar, the machlokes Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is the same machlokes as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi.
Mm-hmm. That's how
That's how you initially learned
that's
it.
That's how I thought I was reading it. Because even this before the shir when you started, we were doing chazara and he said ketanoi, which means that, and he said it This machlokas that you see here, that's going to be a machlokas tanoim.
That's usually what ketanoim means. That's usually what ketanoim means.
What happens if you read it like this? This is just
1 second. Let's just go with the Rashba for a moment first.
So how does the Rashba read? So he says this machlokas amorim is actually machlokas tanoim.
This machlokas tanoim is
actually another machlokas tanoim,
which is a bit strange.
So the two ways of learning it. Yeah. Are we going to learn?
Oh, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Right.
Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi learns like Rabbi, right. and Rabbi Yehuda learns like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon.
Right.
Two schools of thought in the tanoim.
Right.
And the comment of Shmuel is. Vuhushos Kimbo Yosinian is both according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rebbe.
Okay.
And Rebbe himself says that Mefurish.
Maybe there's a third way of reading it.
Which is neither Rashi nor the Rashbo.
Yeah. Or maybe it's both. I mean, maybe it's one or the other, but it's. And that is that Shmuel says Ketanai.
And the Vchenon is the Vchenon also.
Or Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Vuhushos Kimbo Yosinian, Ketanai. That's still in the quote. Amar Rabbi Amar Bahusha Azabas Inya Bilaza Bhishman Afabishan Asim Bas Inyan.
And if you learn that way, what are you gaining?
Well then you're saying that rather it's not a parallel machlokas. Right? Unless you want to say
then
that
you're
Rabbi Osha is
saying then you're learning a Rashi.
I understand, but I'm saying then you got a question on the Rashba because it makes sense that way.
The Rashba clearly isn't learning that way. So let's
But otherwise you have a question.
Either way, there are difficulties. But according to Rashi, what all we know from Rashi is that Vuhushoskin goes on Rabbi Yossi. That much we know. But that could be a Shmuel. I'm going to have you do my Shmuel. Vuhushoskin boyse inyan. So Rashi learns that Shmuel's comment is specifically about Rabbi Yossi. Then we say Ketanai. Rebbe says the same thing as Shmuel says. And so the Pashtus is. Rebbe says the same thing that Shmuel says, explaining the dayo of Rabbi Yossi as Vuhushos Kimbo Yosinian, which means Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Shimon holds that when Rabbi Yossi says dayo, or when that school of thought says dayo, that it works. That's even Einos Kimbo Yosinian. So the machlokes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rebbe is then a machlokes in the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Or we say the two tanoim and two tanoim.
Remember what's Shmuel adding according to that? If we say that it's parallel machlokas, what's Shmuel adding? He's quoting Rebbe. It should say Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Amar Rebbe.
He would then be clarifying that the machlokas Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is in Rabbi Yossi, in Shitas Rabbi Yossi, and it's not like the Rashba learns. If we would be learning this way, that's what Shmuel says. You might have thought that Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar are arguing the same thing that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are. Shmuel would then be saying no.
And according to the Rashba, what's Shmuel adding?
And according to the Rashba, Shmuel's adding, according to the Rashba,
It's parallel.
So Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And what's Shmuel adding? That Halvushos Kimbusa Inyan, he is adding, and Achrami, you might have to say, don't forget that this Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda is a Tosefta. So it could be that not everybody knew it. It's a machlokes tanoim, but it's not a Mishnah, it's not a bra.
Also, the reason that I think that ketanai is in a quote is because otherwise it would have said v'chein amar Rabbi Elazar amar Rabbi Yoshia. It wouldn't have said, it's saying the same quote twice, saying amar Shmuel v'hush she'osek ba'osek inyan, v'chein amar Rabbi Yoshia she'hush she'osek. It didn't have to quote them again because they say exactly the same thing.
So you want to learn that that's what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shai says, right? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shai brings the Tosefta. And he says that this that Shmuel and I have said Vushes Kimbus Inyan is in fact a machlokes tanoim
in Rabbi Yossi,
and that machlokes tanoim is in Shitas Rabbi Yossi,
and therefore the Rashba would be saying that Shmuel is against Rashi, and therefore we don't know when Shmuel says Vushes Osek Bos Inyan that could be the whole machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and in the beginning, right? Because it's ambiguous. Without Rashi, when it says Vuhusha Osek Bos Inyan, it could be his perish, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? In the initial.
Vuhusha Sukim, how could it be even according to Rabbi Yehuda?
That he's perish in. That's the perish.
Vuhusha Sukim Bos Inyan. But that contributor, certainly that would be Yosef Boisin. He says it's got to be Mefarish contributor, there's no question. It would be very difficult to learn Shmuel on anything else but Rabbi Yossi.
No, I'm saying that's the machlokas, is that the parish means that they're Osik Boisin, and that's called parish.
So you say he's saying it on Rabbi Yehuda?
He's saying on both.
V'husha asukim boisinyan. So where are they cholik then? Where
the machlokas.
What's the
whether
where they actually cholik?
But
you just said he said that on both. So if he said that
on both, so
but they must both be boisinyan.
Yeah. No, one must be boisinyan and one must be.
And which is the one that's boisinyan?
Boisinyan must be Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because he's beferish.
So you're saying opposite of Rashi. You're saying that Shmuel is.
I'm saying, according to.
Shmuel says, "Vahu she'asukim ba'isu'inyan." What does Vahu mean?
Vahu could mean one of two things. According to Rashi, it means Rabbi Yossi.
Yes.
And therefore, this brisa is in Rabbi Yossi.
Right.
Right? That's one. The other way of understanding it is Vahu means this machlokas. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about a case of Osik, and therefore he's defining what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Which is ambiguous without that.
So what is the machlokas now? Explain the machlokas.
Machlokas is in a case where he doesn't say anything explicit. They're talking about kiddushin. It's okay according to one opinion because it's the same osa inyan, but according to Rabbi Yossi, dayo means meaning the inyan.
So then you're saying that Shmuel is explaining Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yossi.
He's explaining both. He's saying this Tanaim, this Machlokas Tanaim over here is the same.
No, so let's sort out afterwards. Because if you go through the whole thing, Shmuel starts saying V'hushe Osukim Bo'is Inyan. Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon says, introduces the possibility that it's not Bo'is Inyan, but it's Minyan Bo'is Inyan. So according to Shmuel, it's not that. When Shmuel says V'hushe Osukim Bo'is Inyan, it means they're talking specifically about marriage right up to the time of the Kenyan. So that can't be both of them, otherwise there's no machlokas. So where is he saying that applies? It would be very difficult to learn
According to the Rashba, I don't understand what the Rashba is saying. Because seemingly, it can't be a parallel unless...
So let's unpack it according to the Rashba. So what is the Rashba saying? That Rebbe holds...
Like Rabbi Yossi.
Like Rabbi Yossi according to Shmuel. Is that right?
Right.
Rebbe holds...
Shmuel is basically a quote of Rebbe. It's a quote.
Yes. So Rebbe, Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, all one group.
Right.
Rabbi Lozab Rabbi Shimon says, Afa pisha en asukim bo yisinyan. Rabbi Lozab Rabbi Shimon says, even if they're not talking in that inyan, but they're talking something similar to that inyan.
And that's Rabbi
So
Yehuda.
He's lightened Rabbi Yehuda. He's made Rabbi Yehuda a little easier.
But it's a parish of Rabbi Yehuda.
It's a parish of Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Fine.
That's it.
That's how the Rashba lands.
That's fine.
Okay, so then says the Gemara, Omar Avudo Mashmuel Och Rabbi Yossi, Omar Rav Yem Le Rav Ashi Ve'el Hodo, Omar Rav Yudo Mashmuel Kol Shein Yeh Betiv Gitin V'Kiddushin Lo Yeh Le'Esek Yomahem. We have a din that if you don't understand the essence of Gitin and Kiddushin, you shouldn't deal with them. Says Rashi, Betiv Gitin, that means Behil Choseihem. To understand the halachas of Gitin V'Kiddushin. Does that mean even if Rav Huna Omar Shmuel is not known to a Rav, he should not have Esek for him? What did Rav Huna Omar Shmuel say? Paskin like Rabbi Yossi, is that right? As Rashi says, Lo yele Esek yemem, li yos dayim bedov shemayati yosu evo, vizei ivu shein ayochel esakin, afilu lo shmi yele hod alocha k'Rabbi Yossi, neime de lo yele Esek yemohem, kloima, mi shchicha ho, o lo shchicha, shi odom noisen get, o kiddushin, li isho veinam befarish. Why does Rashi add that? How did you understand? Why is Rashi adding whether it's shchiach or not? What is Rashi concerned about? How else could you learn it? So we have a statement, Rabbi Yehuda Moshe Shmuel, if somebody isn't fluent in Hilchus Gittin and Kiddushin, he shouldn't do it. How far does that fluency require? Even in this? In other words, Rashi is telling us things that are not Shkiach you don't have to know. This statement of Rabbi Yehuda Moshe Shmuel doesn't mean that you've got to know everything that was ever said on even the theoretical things. If you're a dayan, you need to know the practical things. Is this practical? That's the question. Is this practical? Says Rashi, is this practical or not? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, he answers, yes, he's got to know this too. Why? Because this is practical. What could happen? That people are talking about Kiddushin, and we know Lamaise, of course it's practical. It can easily happen, a thing like that. Can you imagine where it happens?
It happened. It happened, the famous case with in Coney Island that Rav Moshe Paskin on. The kids went on high school kids went on a trip, and they went to the Coney Island. They went on the game, the ride or whatever, and they won these Cracker Jack boxes of popcorn, and inside was a ring worth a pruta. It was worth something. And they're like, oh, look, let's play marriage, right? And they did. And the kids married, the boys married the girls. And they said, Hareb Mekadesh is a bit the bazoo, right? Kadesh Mos of Yisrael, right? Boom. And they asked Rav Moshe, what do you do? He said, they all need gittin.
Interesting. So that would be
kind of. They thought it was to be a joke, but they actually everyone was joking, right? They understood it to be a joke.
It would be interesting to look at that shiva, because it would be difficult if they know that it's a joke. If they'll know it's a joke. But you can think of some simpler case. Simply, guys, because now guys and girls give each other gifts when they're dating. It's not unusual. They're dating for a while. He'll give her a gift for whatever reason. A birthday gift, it could be. In times when the boys and girls were separate, and when they went out a few times for shidduchim, and then they go. The first time he gave her a gift, it was an engagement ring, it was a wedding ring. But today that doesn't happen. Today it's completely conceivable that they're talking about marriage things,
right.
And at the end of the conversation, he says, "And by the way, I've got something nice for you. I thought you would like this." Doesn't say anything about kiddushin at all, so it comes out that it's very it could be very shir.
Yeah, I could see that. I didn't know that.
But also from the question I mentioned this before, that it must be that the machlokus is very small, right?
The machlokus is subtle. The machlokus is very subtle, so it's clearly subtle. Otherwise, obviously, he would need to know it. So the machlokus is subtle, but says Rashi, it's not about the subtlety of it; it's about the metzias. Is this something you need to know? Is this something that could happen? And clearly it doesn't impact the understanding of the basics of Gittin and Kiddushin, because then it would be a problem even if it's not Shchiach. Says Rashi, the only question is the Shchiach or not? And the answer is yes, it is Shchiach, and therefore you've got to know it. So now let's look at the Tosfos. Afil lo shmiele perush odom shenis mani agitim v'kiddushin tzichinon lo diya hodur av Yehuda mashmuth. The first thing Tosfos adds is, we're not talking about the man himself is ignorant, because if a person is ignorant, he doesn't know that he's ignorant. That's the problem with ignorance. We're talking about we who know that he's ignorant and he's about to go and become a rov who paskens in matters of Gittin and Kiddushin. We've got to educate him before he dies.
How else would we have understood that?
Difficult to know how else we would have understood it. Oh, the Rav Yehuda Mashmul, and but what Tosfos says is it's Rav Yehuda Mashmul. He does not say Rav Huna Mashmul. He's got the Girsa of the Rosh, which is different from the Girsa of Rashi, and it's on that we did the Marshal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you remember the Marshal's Kashi on Rashi? What was the Marshal's Kashi on Rashi? Do you remember how that went?
I do.
Okay, so let's try and reconstruct it. Rashi, you said, what are we worried about? We're worried that he can come to be Matir Erva because he doesn't know that Allah is like Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Masha. Yeah, you know there's a machlokes tanoim and you don't know who to paskin like. You go lechumra. What you'll have to require a get. You'll go lechumra. What's the worst that can come out of it if as long as you know there's a machlokes? So says Tosfos, that says the Masha. That's why Tosfos prefers the Girsa of the Rosh. That's not the problem that you don't know Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. You do know that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. What you don't know is that the Rav Yehuda Mashmul says that it's only Boisa Inyan, Vushoskin Boisa Inyan. That's the piece you don't know. So let's think Lamaisa. What happens now, Lamaisa? So you've got boy talks to girl about marriage. And then talks on surrounding issues. They're now talking about buying an apartment and things like that. Then he gives her the gift. So this Rav who doesn't know the halacha, what's he going to paskin? He's going to say to him, well, they have a bendaba, but it's Indian, that's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. I don't know who we paskin like, so we'll have to go to Chumra. What's the Chumra? We'll have to say she's Mekudeshes. Is what he would come out. Now somebody raises the question and says, but they weren't talking Ba'isa Inyan at the time. They were talking about buying an apartment. So according to Rabbi Yossi, she's not married. Is that right? According to Rabbi Yossi, she's not married. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's certainly not. She's certainly not married according to Rabbi Yehuda. She's certainly not married according to Rabbi Yehuda. And even according to Rabbi Yossi. So there's no machlekes in this case. So in this case, she's vadai eina mekudeshes. And this Rav is going to pass on that she's mekudeshes misofik.
But why, if it's parallel? You're saying Tosfos is learning like Rashi, that it's not parallel?
At the moment, let's just learn like Rashi. Let's go the same as we've learned up till now. Let's go the same as we've learned up till now. So what will the din? So he knows there's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, and he knows there's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He paskin the chumrah. What's the chumrah? She's mekudeshes. What he doesn't know is that in this particular case there isn't a machlokas. She's vaday not mekudeshes. How can that come to be matir erva?
He'll say that she's mekudeshes, and they'll live together, and then really they're not mekudeshes.
They'll live together and they're mekudeshes. So what? But that's not matir erva. Really, but that's not matir erva. So they're living together and they're not mekudeshes. What?
Then they become mekudeshes.
Okay, but he's already said they're mekudeshes. So right. where are we? What's the terrible thing that could happen here?
She's
pushed yoda mekabes kedushin from somebody else, and he, according to the rov, though he doesn't. You don't have to worry because she's mekudeshes from the first one.
No, according to that Rav who didn't know, she was mekudeshes the first one and she married someone else.
So the second problem. Marriage is irrelevant. He would say right. The second marriage is irrelevant. Well, but no. Lamai said the second marriage is a vadai mekudeshes.
Right.
It's not even a get misofik, it's a vadai mekudeshes.
No, but she would be...
In such a case, she would be vadai mekudeshes. The real halacha would be to the second guy.
Right.
And according to this Rav, she would be either not mekudeshes at all, because he passed already that she was mekudeshes to the first one, or there would have been a sofik, but lamaisa she would be vadai mekudeshes to the second one. What would he do with the machlokas? After all, there's also machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So, and he knows that. Let's assume he knows the Tanoim. He knows the Mishnahs. He just doesn't know the Gemaras. So either you'd have to say it's a Tosefta, he doesn't know that. Or how else could we say? So he knows, here again is the case. Boy meets girl, they speak about marriage, then they move on to talking about apartments, then he gives her a gift. So there's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. There's also a machlokas in Rabbi Yossi as to whether Ba'isa Inyan or Me'inyan Inyan is okay. So surely he knows that machlokas. So what would we say about that? Either he doesn't know that machlokas, it's a tosefta, or we would say he learns that machlokas like the Rashba. How does the Rashba learn it? That's the same machlokas as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, so he'll go to Chumrah. But in either case, he doesn't know that the din, where they haven't been talking Ba'us or Inyan until the moment of the Kiddushin, he doesn't know that if that hasn't taken place, Lekula Almish is not mekudeshes, and there's not a sofik at all. And therefore, the Tosfos prefers the root of the Girsa of the Rosh, because according to that Girsa, we can understand how this could come to a Takola, whereas according to Rashi, says the Ma'ashor explains Tosfos, according to Rashi, he'll always go to Chumrah and it won't be such a problem. That's how we understood the Gemara.
So what's the problem if we say that the Rav assumes that there actually goes to Chumrah, that he is married to the first person, the first woman, so then she'll get a get from he'll give her a get.
Or right? Maybe not. Maybe he won't give her a get.
But he's assuming the chumrah, right? If he assumes it's a safek, he doesn't know. Because he doesn't know the idea of who she has to compose in. He doesn't know that din. But he does know that they were discussing...
Well, you can say the chumrah that they're mekudeshes. That's the chumrah. That she's mekudeshes. Is what she'll say. Nobody else can marry the chumrah. That would be the chumrah. What we worry...
Yeah. He would say the chumrah that they would actually be mekudesh as opposed to doing a get misafik.
Yeah, because a get mis and a get misafik won't work in that case either. Get me, and you can say a get, you can do a get misafik, but Lamai said that the fact is she's not mekudeshes at all to that guy. He would say mekudeshes. That's the chumrah. Now 5 years later, she's mekabel mekudeshin from somebody else. And now you've got a takola.
Even the first, if he says mekudeshes, then they start living together.
Yeah, okay. So they're living together. They're naughty. That's not so great. But it's not an iser arayis.
But then why would she, how would she marry someone else, a second man, if she believes she's married to the first man? How would she marry a second man? she would have to get divorced from the first man to marry.
Yeah, she would think it's nothing. She would be playing around. The guy would say to him, like that kind of, the guy would say, and they would have a little laugh about it, and she would think it's nothing, but Lamai says she's Mekudeshes.
Oh, so the second one would be...
The second one would be the real Kiddushin.
And it would end up being the real Kiddushin.
And it lands, yes. So
she would joke like that? I mean, a woman would joke like that? I mean, like...
Poshti Yodha V'Kibla.
I don't know. Poshti
Yodha V'Kibla,
yeah.
That's the case of Pashti Yodha V'Kibla. Let's go through the next piece of Gemara too, because I want to make sure that next week we start with Mekadesh Ben Bilva. Says the Gemara. V'chem b'gerushin osan l'gitzav omal ha'areyat m'shulachas ha'areyat m'gerushin ha'areyat m'gerushin ha'areyat m'gerushin ha'areyat m'gerushin. Pshite, let's look at the Gemara. Nosan lo gito. If he gave the get to her, v'omal lo l'ishto ha'areyat bat chayrin. And she said, "Hare at asbat chayrin." This Gemara is very interesting because although it's a light Gemara that deals with lashonas, it actually goes a lot deeper than that in explaining an aspect of, isn't that right? Because this, if you look at it at this time, at the time of the Gemara, all other, and even more recently, if you compare it to Lahavdil to Islam and things like that, it this Gemara makes it absolutely clear that a woman does not belong to a man. That's not Harei Bat Chayrin. She's never. He says to her, "Harei As Bat Chayrin, you're free. You're free to go. Lo Yama V'lo Klum. Nothing. Why says Rashi? Lo Yama Klum Lizgashu Im Kosov Lo Loshen Zebeget She Enze Loshen Girushin. That's not a Loshen Girushin. And other Rishonim explain because she was never his. She was never a neighbor. She was never a Shifcho. She was never his. The word Chayrus doesn't. If the word Chayrus doesn't apply to letting a woman free." That means she was never, she had a shibud, but she wasn't a shifcho. What's the difference between a shifcho and a meshubedes? What is the difference? What is a shibud as opposed to being a shifcho? It would be as if it's a kinyan aguf. There's no kinyan aguf.
Right.
She owes him certain activities. He has a right to certain activities. He has no right to her. As a goof, and that's a very important thing to understand, which at that time was unique in all religions, that the man does not own the woman, and even today, in most ancient cultures, all of Africa, a lot of Asia, in a lot of those cultures, he owns it. So certainly in Islam, there's a kinyan goof, he owns it.
It's exclusivity is not considered ownership.
So exclusivity only comes later on. No, exclusivity is not considered ownership because what she gave him there. Was her right to choose a husband. That's the only thing he owns. That's the only, that we saw in the Mishnah right in the beginning, and Rashi right in the beginning, that what he gives back to her when he divorces her is her right to choose, because that's the only thing he had. That's the only thing that's what marriage is. Marriage is a woman gives up her exclusivity.
How did you read the Rashi when it says, the Gemara says, Ishta, etc., and Rashi says, it's got in Kasav Lashon Zeh.
In the case of Gerushin?
Yeah.
So you see that the Rashi in Gittin is also interesting. There's a big issue over there. Is it that he wrote the wrong words in the get? Or is it that he wrote the right words in the get but said the wrong words when he gave it to her? Can the words actually undo the get? Even if the wording of the get is technically right, can the words undo the get? Or is it actually talking about where he messed up in the writing of the get?
And if he used the wrong words in the get and then repeated them again when he gave the get...
That certainly would be no good.
That would certainly be no good, or would you say that in this case two wrongs make the fact?
No, that certainly wouldn't be any good. The only question is if the get was written well,
and he messed up.
It's mashma from Rashi. No, that as long as the get was written well, that he can't mess up with the words, because the way a get communicates is writing.
Right.
That's the communication.
Right.
Just like in Kiddushin, the communication is verbal. In Gittin, the Kiddushin is in writing. And Rashi says, therefore, what we're talking about over here is if he wrote the wrong wording, instead of saying Hareat Muteres L'Cholodom, he wrote Hare Aspas Chayrin. What about the other way around? So he says to a shifcho, you muteres lechol adam, lo yamar v'lo iklum. That also doesn't work. And here there are all sorts of reasons why that doesn't work. Why not? Says Rashi, areyat muteres, loshen gerushin hu v'lo loshen shichru. because that's lashon gerushin. Because by ishus there's isu v'heta, and arayat materes lechalodim is what happens. What did I have from you? I had your exclusivity. When you married me, you gave up your rights to marry anybody. Now you can get that back again, and you can marry whoever you want. But by what's that got to do with shifa? That's not what you earned. The ibas chirin mashvelo enam materes laavodim. So says Rashi here. The reason is because if he's making her a bas chayrim, she's still not muteris to everybody. On the contrary, now she can't be with an eved. So that's how Rashi wants to say the difference is that by an isha, he's saying, I had certain rights of exclusivity that made you asuro to every other man. I'm giving you back those rights, so now you are muteris to every man that you were also to asuro to when you gave your exclusivity to me. But that doesn't apply by shifcha. The Tosfos Riyah Zokin learns a little differently. Says the Tosfos Riyah Zokin, the reason it doesn't apply by shichur is that shichur eino matiro ad shetitbo. The shichur doesn't make her mutter. The shichur makes her free, but to make her mutter, she still has to go through tevila. And at this point, when he gives her the act of freeing her, doesn't give her the right. What do you think, Rashi? Why doesn't Rashi learn that way? It's quite interesting. You would have to say.
She has to go through tefillah.
That's shifcha k'nani. She's got to become Jewish before she's muteres l'choladam. So she's got to go through a conversion prayer. The conversion makes her muteres l'choladam.
So according to the Riyah Zokin, this lashon would work. All she'd have to do after this would be go through the...
It wouldn't. That doesn't work because the statement, the freeing her, doesn't make her muteres l'choladam. Tevilo does. So tevilo is a different conversion does.
Well,
so the Tosfos Riyah Zokin...
According to that logic, no get shechor would work. And yet we know get shechor works.
That doesn't work to be matir her to anybody. It just matters her to free her. Then she's still got to have the tefillah. So you would have to say the other Rishonim hold, and this is something that would be nice to check. Maybe Rav Lifshitz has got a view on it, but it would be nice to check. The other Rishonim must hold that it's the shichru really that makes her mutzah to everybody. She's still got to go through. The tefillah is like a tznai. She's still got to go through. But what makes her Jewish is that she was a shifcho and she is no longer a shifcho. That means she's Jew. Now there are certain halachas. Before she can do anything, she's got to do tefillah. Mm-hmm. But if the shichru is the shichru is goyrem, mm-hmm. everything. It triggers everything. The shichru triggers the chiyuv. Tefillah triggers everything. Whereas the Tosfos Riyah Zokin says these are two completely different things. There's shifcho, non-shifcho.
But what if the woman decides she doesn't want to do tefillah and become a Jew?
Mm-hmm. So according to the Tosfos Riyah Zokin, it's mashma that she would have that right. Because he says being meshachar her doesn't put her in that situation yet. That might be a machlokes.
Going down the path where it is the shirkur that engages the act of becoming Jewish, let's say.
Then she is mechuyeves.
Then she has this other thing and she doesn't do it. She's not mutter.
Well, the kula amma, she's probably not mutter. She's probably the kula amma. The difference would be what you're asking from what I understand, what you're saying is that according to the other day, once she's got the shikru, she has a chiv to be tevilah. She doesn't have an option.
Is that true?
I would like to check that out. According to Tosfos Riyah Zokin, maybe she does have the option. She's a shikrarius now. If she wants to marry anybody, she's got to do tevilah. That's her choice. That's why he can't use the words over there. I want to try and check that out in the Loshon. We'll have to leave it over there. I'll finish it off very quickly in the beginning of the next time. We'll get into Mekadesh B'Milveh.
All right.